minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live for one more hour here from Crazy Carl's Pizza. And it's tough. It's tough to sit here and see all the pizza floating around, man. I mean, I'm starving. We're getting to 2 o'clock, though. We're almost there. Less than an hour, and I'll be enjoying some of the best pizza in northern Colorado. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Angel, you gave me some good news during the break, man. Cobra Kai, season 6, coming up.
Yeah, announced just a little bit ago on Twitter and social media. Let me ask you, do you have one more fight left in you? The 6th and final season of Cobra Kai is coming soon to Netflix.
Yeah, I do. That show is, it's so funny because, like, it's so corny. You can solve everything with just a good old-fashioned karate off in high school and all that. But I don't even care. I check my brain at the door. Like, I'm nitpicky, and I poke holes in everything I watch, Angel. Like, Game of Thrones, I don't like how this character did this. That doesn't speak well to his character. But for Cobra Kai, I don't nitpick at all. All that stuff goes out the window.
Oh, it's a good, perfect mix of nostalgia and modern action. You get Daniel LaRusso and Johnny Lawrence back together to fight each other just on and off for a bunch of random things, and they got all their kids involved and fighting dojos. It's great entertainment.
Oh, no question. I mean, fighting dojos. I mean, what gets better than that? Just things we didn't think really happened in the real world, but they do. Karate rivalries exist and are a big deal. But I'm looking forward to that one. That's going to be fun. You know what I'm looking forward to is talking about, you know, our theory of the NFL conspiracy theory, the NFL conspiracy picks. And this is just furthered my belief with this now, Angel, because we're talking about they're already selling tickets for Bills Chiefs. Is that right?
Yep. So the NFL has announced more than 50,000 tickets have been sold for a neutral site AFC title game in Atlanta.
Are you kidding me? Like, what happens if it doesn't happen? Just refund everybody? I mean, I guess, but this is this normal? Do we see this often where you're selling tickets before a game is even exists yet?
I can't think of any time where it has. I think the circumstances that the NFL has placed themselves in with the neutral site is offering this opportunity because you want to have fans be able to travel to this game if they need to. But I also know Bengals are also selling tickets for their AFC Championship game.
We're selling tickets to our AFC Championship game. Yeah, it's got to motivate you. Joe Mixon was like, dude, disrespectful. It's just disrespectful. But if they're selling their tickets too, then it doesn't really matter. You're just trying to prep and get everybody ready to go, I guess. Maybe it's not as big a deal as the headline states, but it's going to happen. It's going to be Bills Chiefs, Angel. I mean, we haven't made picks yet, but that's what it's going to be, right?
Absolutely. We all love Joe Burrow, Joe Scheisty, Mr. Cool, all that fun stuff. But this season has ultimately been setting up for KC and Buffalo. Could Mahomes do it without Tyreek? The answer was yes. Can Allen get his team back there and avenge their loss to the Chiefs in overtime? You can't write stories like this.
No, you can't. Okay, you know what would be fun? I thought this would be cool. Let's go through. You don't have to tell me your best quarterbacks in the playoffs right now. I want to know your favorite. Because your guy's out. Your team's out. This is all going to be very neutral. Of course, we know the Broncos are well out. Let's go through this. Who's your favorite quarterback? Let's start with how many teams are we? We got 2, 4, 6, 8. Yeah, that's 8. Give me number 8, least favorite quarterback in the playoffs.
It's Josh Allen.
You're the only one that would say that.
I know I'm the only one that will say that. I can't. I will give him the credit as a great player. I just will not be rooting for him in any way.
Okay, I'm going to give you mine. My least favorite quarter. You know what? I'm going to do it. I'm not a big Rudy fan, so I'm going to say Brock Purdy is my least favorite. It's not to say I don't like the story. I mean,
you don't like feel-good stories, Brady.
I've always been accused of that because I don't like Rudy.
You were always the overdog, right?
I'm the overdog. I don't care. I'm going to go Brock Purdy. Okay, number 7. Who's your 7th, your next least favorite, I guess I should say, quarterback in these playoffs?
So two of these quarterbacks have a dark spot with me because they beat Alabama in national championship games or another. But I'm going to go with, just because I don't know much about him, I'm going to go Daniel Jones.
Oh, you're going to go with Daniel Jones?
Daniel Jones at 7, yep.
Okay, Daniel Jones, you're going at 7. I'm kind of into the Daniel Jones thing. This is going to be tough. Least favorite next. Can I just say this? I'm just going to say it. People are probably going to get mad. Joe Burrow is kind of neutral to me. I don't love him. I don't hate him. He's Macaulay Culkin from Home Alone. He's a great quarterback. But I'm just going to say, you know, as far as the entertainment value and quarterbacks I'm really interested in, I'm going to say Joe Burrow. There we go. How about that? Joe Burrow, number 7. Okay, Angel. Number 6 for you in this. Who do you got? So far, Josh Allen, you hate so much. Then Daniel Jones. Who's next?
Give me old sunshine Trevor Lawrence.
Trevor Lawrence. You know what? That is where our two worlds collide. I'm going to say Trevor Lawrence as well. Maybe someday he'll be more interesting to me. The long hair, the waffles, the Waffle House, all that stuff. It's okay.
You get points for me for going to Waffle House.
Mahomes was asked about that too, and he's like, you know what? If we win, I need to go somewhere really unique, so maybe that'll stand out. So where could he go? Where could Patrick Mahomes go? Don't say the Den, Hulligans, please. Where could he go that would top Waffle House?
Nothing tops Waffle House, Brady.
Okay, question. I've never been to a Waffle House for you. Question for you. Do they just serve waffles?
No, they serve all kinds of breakfast. You got to get their smothered, covered hash browns and eggs with a side of toast, some bacon, the waffles. I could probably eat 4 of them in one sitting. It's beautiful.
I gotta check it out, man. I've never been to one before, so maybe someday down the road. All right, we're at number 6. We both agree, Trevor Lawrence. Let's go number 5. Who's next on your list? We have Patrick Mahomes still available. We have, for you, Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts still available, Joe Burrow still available, Dak Prescott, and Brock Purdy.
Let me go with Prescott.
Dak Prescott, he's kind of middle of the pack now for you, so neither love nor hate this guy. Dak Prescott for you. You know what? I'm going to say Jalen Hurts. I'm going to say Jalen at this point. He's number 5 for me. Let's go now. Top 4. These are the quarterbacks that are rising to the top as far as your favorites and who you're really looking forward to seeing this weekend. Who do you got sitting at number 4, Angel? I already know who your number 1 is, but who's number 4?
Number 4 is going to be Mr. Brock Irrelevant Purdy.
There he is. Brock Purdy, you're putting him in there. Number 4 for me is, oh boy, this is getting tough. This is getting tough. I'm going to say Dak Prescott is number 4. Dak Prescott there. Okay, number 3. You got 3 guys left. Who is number 3 most entertaining, excited to see this guy, favorite quarterback in these playoffs?
I'm going to go with Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes, upper echelon there. Patrick Mahomes. Okay, I've got what? Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, and Daniel Jones coming up. Okay, I like Daniel Jones, but I can't put him in number 1 or 2, so I'm going to say Daniel Jones is – his story, man, it's been so appealing to me this year. He's just stormed onto the scene. He's really fun to watch, and he can move now. So I'm going to say Daniel Jones is number 3. There you go. All right, number 2. Number 2 for you, Angel. Who you got?
Number 2, Joe Burrow.
Joe Burrow. Number 2 for me. See, this is actually tough. I'm going to say Josh Allen. There we go. I got Josh Allen. You have Jalen Hurts. I think the world knew you were going there. And then I have Patrick Mahomes. He's the best in the league right now. Josh Allen's certainly close, but he's the best. But your guy, Jalen Hurts, is going to, if he can have a nice run in these playoffs, man, he's really going to put himself right there as the tier one. I mean, he's really going to cement himself into that group.
Definitely. I think the weapons he has, his ability to move his feet, he's just so dynamic, one of the most dynamic players we saw all season, and excited to see a week off of, you know, week off of rest, get back from that shoulder injury, excited to see what Philly does against the Giants.
I am too. It's going to be a big opportunity for the Philadelphia, well, not really a big opportunity, big opportunity for the Giants if they can do this here. I mean, if they beat Philly, and they get into an NFC Championship game, all we're going to talk about is Eli Manning. Oh, I mean, we're already kind of doing it. We're going to talk about Eli Manning's old Giants and the way nobody believed in that team, but somehow, some way, they beat the Patriots twice. They did it in both years, dude. They weren't very good. They were kind of a so-so team squeezed into the playoffs, yet they got hot in the playoffs. I saw that with Baltimore when the Ravens beat the Broncos. The Ravens weren't a world beater. They just got hot in the playoffs. Joe Flacco was kind of an average quarterback at that point. He just got hot in the playoffs. So, I mean, just because Jacksonville's 9-8 and New York's 9-7-1, that doesn't mean we couldn't see some really good games between the good matchups between those two teams, Jacksonville, KC, and the Giants and Eagles. That's why these should be very interesting on Saturday. Maybe the least Saturday's games are the ones you would probably say are the easiest to pick, like if you were just going with conventional wisdom, saying the Chiefs and Philly to win. But who knows, man? Maybe these could be some good games.
Well, definitely. I think we all got a little surprised about the wild card games last week. You know, Miami pulled off something crazy. Jacksonville, one of the greatest upset comebacks, whatever. So you put this much talent, this much anticipation in these eight teams to see who's going to get to the final two. It's going to be a really exciting football weekend.
I know. I mean, who would have thought at the beginning of the season if you would have said Jacksonville and Kansas City are playing each other in the divisional round, and the New York Giants and the Philadelphia Eagles, you would have been like, what happened this season? But, you know, it's been a kind of a steady progression for both of those teams. New coaches to their teams, Dable a new coach, but Doug Peterson a new coach to Jacksonville. What's interesting here, too, is did you know this story? Is that Doug Peterson has a lot of history with Andy Reid. He got to know him as a backup quarterback in Green Bay, Doug Peterson did. And then he was the starter for a moment in Philadelphia. Then he ultimately became a coach underneath him with the Eagles, helping him build the Chiefs kind of into what they were, too. So really good history there between Doug Peterson and Andy Reid. Peterson was asked about it. He's like, how many years is that? Because he's getting ready to turn 55. He said, that's a lot of years. 28 years, almost 30. 30 years of my professional life, I've been influenced by Andy Reid. And that just kind of goes to show you how great Andy Reid is, too. His coaching tree, obviously, the proof is in the pudding. Or in his case, the proof is in the cheeseburger. He continues to put out great teams. He did it with Philly. He's doing it with Kansas City. Where does Andy Reid stack up in your mind, Angel, as you know, top coaches? I know we say Bill Belichick's the best to do it, but is Andy Reid, should we be talking about him a little bit more? He's been to a Super Bowl. He went to a Super Bowl with Philadelphia. He's now got the Super Bowl with Kansas City. But, dude, when he was with Philadelphia, they were in NFC Championship games all the time. It seemed like Donovan McNabb was in the NFC Championship every game or every year, and certainly the Chiefs have been there. Is Andy Reid a top five coach, top 10 coach in your mind?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's easy to make the comparison between, you know, Reid, Mahomes to Belichick and Brady, and I can kind of see that. Mahomes and Reid are kind of the new evolution of that coach quarterback combo. You might see it a little bit with McDermott and Allen, maybe with Taylor and Burrow a little bit, but Andy Reid has just become so dominant with his teams, and we ask ourselves every year, they can't possibly be that good again, and they might start off slow, but they always get back to form at the right time.
They do. Every year I keep counting this team. Hey, Angel, who was the idiot that picked the Chiefs to finish last in the AFC West? Was that Tanner?
Was that you?
It was Tanner, probably. Well, I think it was Tanner, probably. Sounds more like Tanner thing. I don't think that would be me. I just keep thinking they're going to fall off, and people are going to figure this thing out. But that's just a credit to this offense, and Eric Bieniemy, too. They're creative. They are constantly working to try to evolve. They don't get set in their ways, and Andy Reid doesn't get set in his ways. You know, where we saw here with Hackett and Russell Wilson, they're trying to make this thing work together based on what they know. Andy Reid is putting things together, a mix based on what he knows, but based on his players too. You've seen it with Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco. Those are certainly the best coaches, the guys that continuously evolve their teams each and every year. 20 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, we're going to take a quick break. Don't forget, picks are coming up in about 20, 25 minutes or so. We'll get to those final picks for the weekend ahead and talk more about these matchups, specifically what the Broncos need to do to get to be one of these matchups. We know we're talking about the head coach and things that they need to fix, but about the things that you need to fix. What are the biggest ones? We'll talk about it next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets Podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hull.
Just 24 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Okay, Eastside Chris texting in, and this was Angel that responded to you, by the way. Angel, I agree about Josh Allen. Watch when he's sacked or fumbles, he gets to kicking and pushing. Started the melee last week after being intercepted. And Angel, your disdain and frustration for Josh Allen is becoming pretty obvious. You have him ranked number 8 as far as your favorite quarterbacks, least favorite quarterbacks in these playoffs. And you responded, you said, Chris said, yeah, he's kind of a brat. Josh Allen's kind of a brat.
He is.
Why is he a brat?
You don't throw a pick downfield and get frustrated and start picking on a defensive lineman that's 100 pounds heavier than you, and he shoves him, and Josh Allen's the one that falls to the ground. His O-lineman comes to help him out, and then Josh just runs away.
He's just doing what the NBA guys do.
Don't
he's
start
flopping.
A fight if you can't finish it.
So is Tom Brady a brat?
Absolutely.
He did the same thing. Okay, so at least you're consistent there. I don't really see that with Josh. I mean,
well, you're
I guess
just watching
I saw
his highlights, Brady, like everyone else.
I'm watching his games, bro. I do a sports show for a living. I'm watching his games, every single game, and I see his attitude. He's a leader, man. He's got a handshake with everybody on the team. Can you imagine?
Does that make you a leader, though?
Yes, that's part of it. That's
I think
part
it makes
of
you
it.
A friendly person. I don't know if it. Oh, my leader has to know 15 handshakes.
I think that's part of being a leader is connecting with your guys, with your teammates. And if you were just, you know, didn't do that kind of stuff, then maybe Russell Wilson needs to learn some handshakes with his team. That might actually make him a better leader. But no, I mean, Josh, to me, especially after this DeMar Hamlin stuff, you see it even more. Like, he's got a positive attitude, and his guys go to battle for him. You saw he pushed the defensive lineman. And his guys were right there to back him up. We see that all the time.
Well, then he just ran away. Like, if you're going to be there, stay in the background. But don't just run off.
You can't afford to get him thrown out of a game, though. I mean, he knows that. If he gets thrown out of a game, that's it.
The NFL would never do that, Brady.
They'd never throw him out. They'd never throw Josh Allen out of a game. That would be something, wouldn't it? Quarterback went at it like that, and then they had to make a decision whether or not to throw one of these superstars that everybody lines up to go see out of a game. That'd be nuts, right?
Yeah, but, you know, unless you're, I don't know, if you're successful, tall, yeah. Big arm quarterback, the NFL loves you and you're going to be prime time every weekend.
Yeah. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. So there we go. Angel's list of quarterbacks from least to best as far as, you said Chris is jumping all in. Brady, watch this weekend. He's spoiled. Is he any more spoiled than Patrick Mahomes?
No, I mean, but Patrick Mahomes has kind of earned that.
Well, Josh
my problem is so Allen hasn't earned that cachet to be Mr. I'm better than you.
He's getting mighty close, though. A Super Bowl would earn that. He can start doing a little more, get away with a little bit more if he wins the Super Bowl.
It'd be nice to see the Bills go 0-5 in Super Bowls.
Are they 0-5? How many? I know they went to 4 in a row that year. Have they went to more? They didn't go to any more outside of that 4-year span?
I don't think so.
Man. You know, Buffalo fans are freaking out, you know, at the idea of going to a Super Bowl. But they've also got to be terrified because of the history there. Let's see. Yeah, you're right. They made it to the 4. Just the 4. They went to 4 in a row. Isn't that one of the craziest stats in all of sports? The fact that the Buffalo Bills went to 4 Super Bowls. How rare, how tough it is to get to a Super Bowl in the first place. And they
went
to 4
in a row. It's almost franchise defining.
It is, in a bad way, isn't it? I mean, it's hard to recognize how great they really were in order to go to 4 Super Bowls. But that's not what stands out. It's that you lost 4 Super Bowls. It's insane. I mean, you're right. It defines this franchise is the fact that they went to four and couldn't win. And, Buffalo fans have to be thinking about that now. If they can get past it, if they can make it deep into these playoffs, they can get past Cincinnati this weekend, and then we set up for fireworks. I mean, you even got to admit, as much as you hate, I mean hate, Josh Allen, you would admit that Buffalo or Buffalo-Kansas City game would be pretty enticing.
Well, it would be. It's great, and it's great entertainment. I think the NFL knows that. They look at the ratings from last year and say, hey, people like these two teams. Let's put them together again.
The script says that we need a rematch.
It's all marketing, Jerry. It's smart business.
Oh, wouldn't that be something if this all comes out at the end and it's like, yeah, the NFL is scripted. Dan Snyder reveals the grand secret that this thing is, for the most part, scripted. Texters here, Hull again, texting. Does the NFL eject players for targeting? I want to see a superstar quarterback ejected for targeting, like Montana State's quarterback a few years ago. They disqualify for targeting, don't they, Angel?
I don't know if targeting is an official rule in the NFL. I think it's still helmet-to-helmet contact. I know targeting is its own set of circumstances in college. But it'd be interesting to see if they brought that same kind of rule to the NFL.
Yeah. Oh, I think that would be interesting. And that you were talking about this to start the week. You know, what can we do in the NFL? Kick him out, I guess. If you see a guy lower his helmet and hits a guy, you start putting implementing what they do in college, and you kick him out, and you fine him, and you have to change the way these guys are playing the game. And I also think another thing they should consider is when guys are laying on the ground. We talked about this on Monday. When guys are laying on the ground, and you pile on, you clearly have space to get around, but you pile on and you try to hit him so you can get credit for the tackle. That to me is the most infuriating one. The targeting stuff I get. Sometimes can just be the heat of the moment and you're just flying at a guy and your helmet hits the helmet. But the piling on is the thing that has to change.
Right. It's not safe in those dog piles. You know, I've heard stories from football players. Even my dad used to tell me, like, if you were in a dog pile, you're in there scratching at eyes and poking people and stuff like that. It's not safe.
No. It really isn't. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Our poll question today, we're talking about Isaiah Stevens, since we started this thing off with Isaiah Stevens at 11 o'clock here at Crazy Carl's Pizza. Do you think he'll be back next year? And I think this goes into the whole discussion of NIL, finances. Because everybody that I've talked to, and not Isaiah, but people around him, that follow this team, we've all kind of talked about the same thing. Like, what would that look like for him? Because staying in college, if you're a star athlete, and with this NIL thing, and with more and more franchises doing programs doing collective deals where they're getting money into a pool and then they can dole it out, so you're seeing the stars of this college, whether it's CSU or Kentucky, there might be a chance, Angel, that they stick around because okay, I can make 20, 30, 40 grand. And still play college and still be the big man on campus and really just enjoy being a kid still. You're playing a game, you're going to college. It's not like your life is that crazy just yet before you jump out of college and you're no longer protected. Then you just wonder if maybe it makes sense for these guys. And, you know, it used to be you talk about the one and dones left and right, and that was hurting the game. Well, now you're seeing guys because of COVID and transfer years and redshirt years. Now you're seeing guys play for 4 or 5 years, and they're playing well into their 20s. And you just wonder, Angel, does that make the sport better? Because you have guys that are playing the college game and really getting so good at the college game, getting so confident with the college game, that maybe that transitions into the pros.
Definitely. I think it's helping these players understand that, you know, you can be great at basketball as an individual, but if you want to be successful, you have to play team basketball. And we see that with the Nuggets as a great example. But for these college kids, it's not, oh, I know I'm going to be a superstar freshman right out of the gate. I could go pro. But what if I stayed another 2 years with my other freshmen and we kind of grow the team up from there? And, you know, by the time we're seniors, we're competing for, you know, attorney bid.
Yeah, no question. I mean, there's a lot in front of Isaiah. He's going to pass the assist record. He's going to, if he sticks with it one more year, he could pass the point record, dude. And his name would be just a legend, maybe even more so than Roddy. I mean, if Isaiah Stevens passes the assist record, which he will tomorrow afternoon, about 209, and then if he passes the points record, his name might be right up there as far as maybe being one of the best players to ever do it. Kevin Lytle always says, and when people say, well, this is Isaiah Stevens' team now, and I get why they say that, because it solely is, but Kevin likes to say, well, no, it always was Isaiah's team. He just shared it with David. Yeah, but I get what they're saying. This is 100% Isaiah's team. There's no Batman or Robin anymore. It's just Robin now having to turn into being Batman. Holigan texting in, taunting number 17 Buffalo, 15-yard penalty. This is number 17, second taunting penalty. He has been disqualified. No, don't. You can't disqualify for taunting. I don't want to do that, man.
If you're taunting too much, you got to get out of the game.
No, I want them to taunt, trash talk, do all the crazy things.
Well, it's fine when it's not your team he's taunting.
I have no issue with it. Tyreek Hill did a backflip into the end zone against the Broncos, and I thought it was silly of Tyreek to do it, but I don't think he should be penalized for it.
I mean, if you score a touchdown, you can celebrate however you want.
Well, he did a backflip into the end zone.
That's just showing off his athleticism.
He stopped at the one or whatever. He turned around, faced the Broncos, then did a backflip. But again, I don't think he should be penalized for that. I don't think it should be any kind of a taunting or any kind of a fine. Did I like it? No, but I think my response was, go stop him, I guess. Go stop this guy from doing it again.
You gotta stop him.
35 minutes after the hour. Angel, let's jump out real quick. When we come back, we won't get into the picks just yet, but we're getting dangerously close to making those picks. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Krista Mateo, your UNC women's basketball coach, and you are listening to The Whole Show, 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. Just about to wrap up out here for the day. We've been live and on location at Crazy Carl's Pizza. Absolutely love this place. This is a go-to for my family, not just me, but we all love it out here at Crazy Carl's Pizza. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. And it was exciting today to start the thing off with Isaiah Stevens and kind of talk about him as he's chasing the assist record. He should have that tomorrow afternoon. So if you miss any portion of these shows, you can check out the podcast again at 1310kfk.com or thewholeshow.com as well. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Well, just listening to Cowherd talk about his conversation with Sean Payton when they went to dinner and all that stuff, and that, you know, that Russell called him. He started kind of talking about why the Broncos are appealing to Denver, for Sean Payton to go to Denver. And I don't know about it. So basically, Angel, he says they know what they need to fix, and they can do that through the draft. Seriously, Cowherd said this yesterday while talking about the Broncos getting Sean Payton. Angel, do you see any major issues with what Cowherd said?
I don't believe the Broncos would have many draft picks to choose from.
If you trade them for Sean Payton, why do people keep forgetting that it's going to cost multiple draft picks to acquire New Orleans or to acquire Sean Payton?
Because it's just money, Brady. They just give them money and it's all good.
It's just ridiculous. And it's like, oh yeah, give a multi-billionaire money and they'll turn. No, I mean, the owner of the Saints is a billionaire, not as much as the Walter Penner group, but still a billionaire. But yeah, this idea, you know, I'm listening and Cowherd's like, you know, they know the area they need to fix. They need to fix the offensive line. They know Javonte Williams is coming back and he's a star. Now, Angel, I love Javonte Williams. I said at the beginning of the season, I think he was going to be the best player. Obviously that didn't come to fruition. He gets hurt, but he's not a star. Okay. He hasn't done it yet. His rookie year was great for a rookie, but he is not a star at this point. And the offensive
line, I agree.
Line,
I think he's a great young talent, and I think he fits the scheme very well. I will be interested to see how he recovers from an ACL. Just that kind of injury with that kind of player, it does raise some concerns. But can he get back to that, you know, explosiveness that he used to be?
Yeah, that's the big question: is can he come back? So I mean. what drives me crazy sometimes about these narratives is we just create the narrative, and we make it fit whatever we want it to fit. So Cowherd's saying that Sean Payton wants to come to Denver because they're set. The ownership is set. Well, they're a young owner, or a new, I should say, new ownership group. What does that mean that it's set? All of the ownership groups, except for Washington's, are set. So when we're hearing this talk of like, well, he's looking for strong ownership. I mean, I can't sit here and say, based on what we've seen, that this ownership group is any better than anybody else in the league. And I'm not saying that they're worse. I'm just saying we don't know yet. I mean, we got to see the moves. They approved the Russell Wilson deal, which right now looks like garbage. They approved, they didn't approve the Nathaniel Hackett hiring, but they also didn't force him out sooner. If you would have forced Hackett out sooner, you could have had Rosberg for five games, and you actually could have seen if that was legit, and you could have had your guy. Maybe you had your guy, which I disagree. I don't think he would have been, but you could at least answer that question. So this idea that, oh, the ownership group is set, and the Broncos know what they need, and that's to fix the offensive line, which they can do that in the draft. Not really. I mean, if you trade this year's first round pick, and you trade next year's second round pick, and then a third round pick this year, you're running out of picks. You've already traded a load for Russell Wilson. So that kind of baffled me. And then again, as we talked about, the Javonte Williams, he's a star. He's not a star. He's good. This year I was hopeful would have been the year that made him a star, but it didn't because he got hurt too soon. So I guess I'm not seeing it. I'm a Broncos fan. I love this team. I love everything about Broncos country. I want them to get it right. I want them to be good. But I'm not going to sit here and lie to you guys and say, yeah, the Broncos job is more appealing than most jobs. Is it more appealing than Houston? I mean, seriously, I mean, they're a bad team. I get it. Denver beat them this year, barely. But is it more appealing than Houston when you have the prospect of Bryce Young? And listen, I know their ownership group has gone through some stuff. Obviously, the management with Deshaun Watson. But is that really on Houston? Is that Houston's fault? I know the Larry O'Brien, the O'Brien thing didn't work out. I get that. But is it really where you look at Houston and go, that's just a train wreck of an organization?
It's hard to say that. I mean, obviously, at the last couple of years, they've had their drama and controversy. But you do feel like they are trying to put that behind them and start a new era. And they may want Sean Payton to be that, you know, the leader into that new era of Texans football as they move past the dark times of Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, they need to move past it. That's a big deal. And again, the fact that you have a draft pick that could lead you to one of the best prospect quarterbacks we've seen in a while with Bryce Young or even CJ Stroud. Like, those two guys are both right there. They could be there for you. And then you have your quarterback to start. So you're telling me that just the Broncos are just like this extremely attractive job compared to that. And then Arizona, I mean, I know that their situation is a little weird and their management situation, and they had a GM step down and they brought in a new GM and all that. But everything I've heard is that this new GM can actually connect with Sean Payton. They actually have a relationship, that they know each other, that could work. So this idea that the Broncos is just a slam dunk, to me, is bizarre. Maybe it is. Maybe Sean Payton is looking at the Broncos as the team, as the spot for him to go. I just don't get it. I would be interested to know why. Like, for a guy like Dan Quinn, I could see why you choose the Broncos. I mean, you were let go. You didn't leave. You were let go by the Falcons. It's not like you have all these choices. You were let go. Sean Payton wasn't. He made the decision to leave the Saints two or three seasons ago, whenever that was. That's why I think it's just a little bit different as far as, you know, beggars can't be choosers. I think Dan Quinn would just be excited to get back into the league. I think Sean Payton, you are really trying to sell that your organization is worthy of him coming here, which, again, just seems kind of bizarre. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. All right, Angel, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to wrap up the show the way we do on Fridays. We're going to give you the picks. Angel's beating me right now, but I'm hoping I can change that on the other side? We'll find out. Picks are coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKN.
The UNC Bears play on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jerry Schimmel, voice of the UNC Bears and host of Amazing Americans, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
It's time to make our picks here at Brady Hall.
All right, Angel, you got the lead on me. A couple of games, I believe. It's time to make them, though. We've got some interesting games here to start with. So, Angel, I'll start first. Let's go Saturday, 2:30, first game on NBC. The Kansas City Chiefs are now 9-point favorites, according to ESPN, going up against the Jags. I can see it being a close game and all that. I have a feeling that the Chiefs are going to be on a mission in this one, Angel. I'm going to go give me the Chiefs, give me them to cover -9.
All right, I like that. I'm going to go opposite with you. I think the Jags have a lot of fight in them still. I think they're going to have a lot of momentum. I think they keep it close. They don't win, but they do cover the 9-point spread.
All right, there we go. I've already got one opportunity to gain a game on you. Giants-Eagles, that's the Saturday night game, 6:15 on Fox. The Philadelphia Eagles are 7.5-point favorites in this one. Angel, I'll let you go first. Do the Giants keep it close? Do they cover? Do they pull off the upset against your boy, Jalen Hurts?
I'm going to say no. This is a close game at the half, but the Eagles pull it off in the second half, and they do cover 7.5.
I'm going to say the same thing. I'm not going to gain any traction here with you. I'm going to go Philadelphia Eagles will cover -7.5 as well. As much as I want to take the Giants to pull off the upset and Daniel Jones, I think the Cinderella story for at least this season ends for the Giants. All right, moving on to Sunday. The NFL, the scripters already know who's winning this game, but who do we think's winning this game? The Bengals at Buffalo. Game is at 1 o'clock on Sunday on CBS. The Buffalo Bills coming in as a 5.5-point favorite. Angel, I'm going to go first here. Give me the Buffs to cover. I like the Buffs to cover 5.5.
The Buffs, I don't know if they're playing.
Bills.
But this is going to be a lot of them. There's going to be a lot of emotion in this game. I don't know if DeMar Hamlin's going to be there, but obviously so much emotion and thought about this game between these two teams, kind of finishing off what we didn't have a couple weeks ago. I think Buffalo still wins, but I like the Bengals to cover.
All right, final game of the weekend. Cowboys 49ers. I have gone back and forth with this one for a while. 4:30 on Fox. San Francisco is a 4-point favorite. I'm feeling it, man. I'm going to go with the Cowboys to win, not just cover. They're going to win this one.
I'm right there with you, Brady. This is the game where Brock Purdy gets exposed and the Cowboys punch a ticket to the NFC title game.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so we differ on two, so I have a chance to catch you a little bit here, but we'll see. Should be very interesting. Should be a very fun weekend coming up. That Cowboys game, though, man, I just kept kind of flirting with it throughout the week, and then I'm hearing I'm hearing all these guys chatting, and you know, the Cowboys chatting a little bit more about this game leading up to it. Micah Parsons is saying, you know, we're pretty tough too. I don't think San Francisco has gone up against a team quite like us. I kind of started to buy into it, man. I wanted to flip my pick Monday, Bills Buccaneers. I wanted to flip it between Cowboys and Bucks, but I just kept thinking the Brady magic was going to override everything. But I did kind of have this gut feeling deep down that I made a bad mistake by picking Tampa Bay to beat Dallas.
Yeah, I think we're kind of underestimating. We're kind of just pushing McCarthy out of this job and putting Peyton in. But this is still a very talented offense, very explosive. And Micah Parsons on defense, he's a threat.
He really is, my man. Well, it should be a lot of fun this weekend. Big games there. So I just hope they're all as great as the wild card weekend was, save for the Monday night game and one half of the San Francisco-Seattle game. It was all really, really fun. Meanwhile, what's on the tube tonight before we gear up for a big weekend? You got the Indiana Pacers taking on the Denver Nuggets, 7 o'clock. That should be on altitude. And then the Colorado Avalanche going up against Vancouver, 8 o'clock. That's going to be on ESPN Plus. And then a busy Saturday coming up as CSU going to Wyoming for the basketball version of the Border War. That's going to be on FS1 at 2 o'clock. Will Isaiah Stevens break the assist record tomorrow? He needs two, so he should. And then you have Idaho taking on the UNC Bears. Can the Bears bounce back? It was a closer game against Eastern Washington than a lot of people thought maybe, but couldn't get the dub. Can they bounce back? Start winning some games in the Big Sky Conference. That's a big one there. And then Air Force playing host to San Diego State on Saturday night on CBS Sports Network. That's going to do it for us. It's been a blast to be out here at Crazy Carl's Pizza. I'm going to go have some of that pizza right now. I've been looking forward to it for a while. That'll do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.